Deborah, we typically read something when we come out of. Does she have it?
What, on the back page of that.
Forrest, you had something on the back of that paper that you need to read when we're coming out.
Okay. The board has now returned to open session. The subject of discussion during the closed session restricted to that stated in the motion, and no formal action was taken by the board in closed session.
Okay, thank you. Item number 10, to approve the personnel action of the individual that was pulled from the list. Motion to approve.
I move that, that motion be approved.
Is there a second?
A second.
Any other discussions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same sign?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. We need to count that, or do you? For the record.
By hand.
Let's do a hand. All in favor indicate, raise your hand so it's easily seen. Okay. Got it?
Okay.
All opposed, raise your hand. Okay. Did it pass?
It passed.
Thank you. Okay.
70.
All right. Next item on the agenda is athletics. Under 11, page 93. But are you ready to?
Ready.
With us?
Ready.
I would like to get a motion in a second before you discuss any of the items.
Would you like to do them individually or together?
I would like to do them together if that is agreeable, and then we can speak to any one of them if we choose to. All right? A motion is in order at this time for 11.1, 11.2, 11.3, and 11.4. I need a motion.
Could you state for the record which three those are?
There are four of them. 11.1, 11.2, 11.3, and 11.4. These are contract employment, they're contracts for people in the athletic department.
In this case,
all
and discuss them individually?
Yes.
In this case, all four are coaches.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is there a motion?
I'll move.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Would anything you want to say before there's a question?
I can review them, or I'll just take questions.
All right.
I'll follow your lead.
All right. Are there questions? And be specific as to which one or what, please.
I have a general question and a specific question.
Okay.
I noticed these contracts are not. I realize that they will fluctuate, according to the individual, but they're not standing contracts. And my question is, does WKU have a standard athletic contract? Are these generated by the coaches' attorneys, or just where do they come from?
Most of our coaches do not have attorneys. They are fairly consistent with multi-year contracts that we have with all of our coaches. There may be some subtle differences, but they're all multi-year contracts, which is important this day and age when they're recruiting high school seniors and their families who want to know that there's going to be continuity and longevity at that position here at WKU. So the first goal is for the length of the contract, and then the performance bonuses are different, and many of those performance bonuses are specific by sport so that they are somewhat different when you compare, say, track to basketball to baseball. So some of these coaches, it depends on where they might be coming from, what their experience level, what their background is. So each one is a little bit unique, but they generally take the general, they're pretty much the same in the overview of each contract.
And in most cases, the general counsel prepares these for coach and the athletic director.
Well, I thought it interesting that under Jenkins it says that he's subject to the policy against sexual harassment, and under McDonald, the it doesn't say that. Now, I'm assuming that he's also subject to it, but the omission of that...
Anything in the handbook, right, the university handbook, they would be subjected
to. It just seems like there's some uniformity there. And some other things, too, which were a little bit different. It just seems like to the extent that it's not, goes to, you know, negotiable terms.
It might make a difference for the coaches coaching. Eric Jenkins coaches six teams, three men, three women, and Ken McDonald only coaches one men's team.
Could
be a reason. I'm just responding to that. I don't know that to be the case.
But I mean, he still should be subject to it.
We can add that across the board from here on out.
I think the argument, not a strong argument, could be made, well, it wasn't in my contract, it's his, therefore I was exempt from it. I mean, you couldn't make that argument, which would not go very far, but it's still.
I understand your point.
You know.
Right.
Wood?
Oh,
yes, I have a couple of... Oh,
no,
sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you finished?
No, I said I had a specific
go
question.
Go right ahead.
But if you want to... The extension of the football coaches contract.
Right.
I've been told that's to help recruitment.
That's one of the variables behind that request for an extension. Initially, Coach Elson had an 8-year contract. He is halfway through that contract. And in his initial contract, halfway through, it wasn't specifically stated that we would come back and revisit it. It was pretty obvious that through the midpoint of his initial contract, we would get back together and revisit it. So as we are now making the transition to 1A, and we are looking for continuity and stability, we are not changing anything in the initial contract that he received. All we're doing is extending it 4 additional years to return it back to its 8-year stint and allow him to be able to tell recruits and their families that he has a commitment both from the university and he is committed to WKU in turn. But the buyout remains the same. That's a $500,000 buyout that goes both ways, and all the other terms and conditions remain the same. So that's just an extension to hopefully help him recruit, help his staff know that when they commit to coach on his staff, that he's not potentially going to be a short timer, or that the university is not behind him, because it'd be hard for him to fill a staff of genuine, reliable, good coaches if they think he might only be here for another year and they're going to move their entire families and put their careers with his camp. So there are a lot of variables on why this extension is important as we transition from 1AA to 1A.
It just seems like coaches walk away from contracts all the time, and coaches who have contracts are fired, and so it seems like from...
Well, the buyout's the key.
But there's always somebody to step forward and give you $500,000, give you like a T-bone pickings or whatever.
I always thought the contract.
There's always somebody to step forward.
If you got that list in your pocket, I want to see it.
You're doing a better job for me.
You're talking
the
world of NBA, I think.
More than to do the coach.
Judy.
Hey, Tom. Write it down. Yvette and T-Boone Pickens are just like that. Write it down.
Well, let me say it again before they go.
Three or four people get together and get $500,000 together if they want to get rid of somebody.
Easy.
It's just simple as that. So.
But let it be known that the contract for a coach protects the school more than it does the coach. It really, the school needs that contract as much as the coach does.
Yeah. Right. True. Right.
Any other questions?
There's always somebody wanting to fire a coach if you got a contract, you know.
I just want some clarification
on
Coach McDonald's contract.
Okay.
And on page 100, his if he makes the NCAA, he gets an additional $100,000 added to his base salary.
Correct. The first time.
Mm-hmm. And then the second and third time, he gets an additional $150,000 to $200,000. Are those consecutive years or just in between years?
At whatever time he may hit them. They might be sequential, mm-hmm. or they might be gaps of years in between where he might go to a conference NCAA tournament, or might go to an NCAA tournament and then skips 2 years and goes to a second tournament.
Right.
But the bonuses and the supplements, once they are achieved, they are maintained in perpetuity as long as he remains an employee of WKU.
Mm-hmm. Let me understand that. would, if he makes it to the NCAA tournament, he gets 100 grand. That means, are you saying that he makes 100 grand a year, every year after that, more than his salary? In other words, you get a raise for $100,000.
He has his base salary now that's in place.
Okay.
The first NCAA tournament, whether it's this year or 3 years from now, that we go to, his base will be increased by that amount, $100,000. So his base would, if it was this year, go from 250 to 350. So that would be his new base salary, and that would be paid on an annual basis going forward, so that if next year we don't go to a tournament, he doesn't lose that 100 and go back to 250. He is at that level in perpetuity.
I'd be getting in that daggone tournament.
And that, well, then if he goes the second time, he gets an additional 150.
But keep in mind that the additional 150 is a supplement. It's not a base salary increase. It is a supplement. The first one is a base salary increase. The second and the third are supplements that would be received in various lump sum payments.
They're bonuses rather than pay increases.
Right. In effect, they're a bonus, not a base salary increase, and they are supported by private gifts, pledges for this level of performance. When you look back historically at WKU basketball, the last couple of coaches, we had Dennis Felton. We went to three consecutive NCAA tournaments, and then he left for Georgia. We had with Darren Horn, we had a Sweet 16, and then he left for South Carolina. This contract, I think, enables us to put in front of a coach a very visible plan of success and reward, and maybe takes a lot of the guesswork out from that individual on, do I need to be looking at other jobs if I have any type of success? We've laid it out. You know, your level of success is going to be compensated accordingly, and we have also secured the private funding necessary to make these bonuses, this performance pay, happen, so that it's not going to be against our state budget. Mm-hmm. So we've been able to work on both ends to that. And hopefully we've decreased the flight risk of our head coach that we've seen happen the last couple of times.
And there is revenue from NCAA tournament participation that pays. Yep.
I was going to say the financial remuneration at the university is far greater than that amount of money. Right. Well, hope he gets that raise.
Is that where that bonus money comes from? I'm curious.
Well, keep in mind, last year we went to the Sweet 16, and on April 1st, we're going to receive a check of $400,000 from the Sun Belt Conference via the NCAA. We are working to put that into an endowment to support our basketball coaching salary so that we have money in place to help pay any type of performance bonuses that might be achieved through success. So that's the first area that we're deriving money to cover these kind of incentives. Secondly, we have an enhancement fund that generates annual gift dollars to support compensation of our coaching salary as well as operation of our basketball program. And then we have corporate giving, private giving, also that we've lined up for this type of success that would kick in accordingly based on the years and the type of success that we enjoy. So all this is committed to. It's, you know, it's contractually obligated by individuals, corporations. So we have not gone out on any limb to promise an individual compensation and incentive bonuses without making sure that we have backed it up with contracts and obligations from others.
Wood, would you share your vision and aspirations for our football team?
Switching gears real quick, I'd be happy to. Our theme within athletics is championship effort, and I think with what you see with our coaches and our student athletes, we were in just about every single game this year while we were competing against pretty difficult odds, where we were going against schools who've been recruiting at the 1A level a lot longer than we have. We're trying to redshirt just about everybody that we recruit, which redshirts means you You get them in as a high school senior. They come in as a freshman, and they sit on the sideline and work out, work on their grades, get bigger, faster, stronger, lay a foundation academically for success, and then they compete the next year. If you can do that 4 or 5 years in a row, you turn your program into a more mature, a more stable program. So I think that blueprint for recruiting athletes, and you can see already that the returns we're getting with the commitments that we're receiving and that we will receive in formal terms next Wednesday, we're doing very well within the state of Kentucky. We're doing great nationally. We're getting the caliber of recruits athletically as well as academically that we have not seen here at WKU. So I think, you know, my soundbite has always been, you know, to really evaluate this transition, I think we need to be patient and we need to give our staff and our student athletes as much support as we possibly can and start to look at the returns in 2011, 2012, when we've really had a chance to grow and put 4 or 5 consecutive classes in here off the strength of recruiting to this facility with our current coaching staff and with the resources that we've provided in our program. So I think we've got a great future. When you look at Boise State, the first year, and Boise State seems to be kind of the program, the model that everybody nationally looks up to and aspires to be with the transition from 1AA to 1A. Their first year of transition, they were 2-10. Our first year, we were 2-10. You know, their next year, they went 3-8. Yeah, I hope we do better than 3-8 next year, but we might not. You know, but 3-8 is a step forward. It's just going to take time, as far as one losses are concerned, to get where we all aspire to be. But we won championships at the 1AA level. We performed at a high level at the 1AA level. We're not going to compromise those values or those goals. We want to win championships at the 1A level. We want to go to bowl games, and we want to graduate our student athletes. Our APR still remains the best in the Sun Belt Conference at a 945, so we're doing the best job of any football playing institution in our league with regard to academic performance and academic success. So that will not be compromised in order to help us achieve on the field.
And why do you think this coach is the best coach to achieve that objective?
Well, I think, one, he knows the game. Two, I think he's an excellent teacher. Three, I think he's a great salesman. And just a great person in general. And I think he's been a part of our growth and evolution as a program. He was part of the 2002 National Championship team as a defensive coordinator. He went to West Virginia, saw it at a very high level at the Big East. We brought him back when Jack Harbaugh decided to retire. He's been a part of our program now for over a decade. I think he knows what it takes to get it done at the 1A level with success, and I think you look at the recruiting class we're going to bring in this year. You look at the coaches that he surrounded himself with, the type of people that they are. You watch him recruit and deal with families and parents, and how he handles our student athletes. And I'm convinced that he's going to get it done. He's going to get it done well, and we're going to be very proud of him.
You need to share that publicly every time you get a chance.
Okay. Are there other questions? All right. Yes.
One for each sport, or no, one for basketball, one for football. It's right there, multiple sports. I'm just curious, does it really take this long to negotiate a contract? I really expected to see the basketball contract at the fourth quarterly meeting in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious, yeah, as to why he's been working for a while without a contract.
Yeah, we really haven't been negotiating this for 6 or 7 months. This is, you know, we were trying to push it along a little quicker ourselves, but we just couldn't get the signature until it was time to bring it to this quarterly meeting and not the one back in the fall. But we try and move these as quickly as we possibly can.
Okay.
But you want a new coach to focus on the task at hand, not be sitting around worrying about his contract either. I mean,
a new coach comes aboard.
You know, I want them recruiting, doing what they need to be successful, and yeah, you know, get the contract done when you can, but stay focused on your ability to sustain that contract.
Well, if he beats U of L again, maybe we shouldn't give him a contract.
After we were defeated by Evansville, he kind of commented, I need to sign up my contract. And after we beat Louisville, he said, maybe I should wait a little bit longer. So, we weren't playing. There were no games being played. It was just, you know, we were trying to push it along. But he had a lot of things when you take over a new job as a first-time head coach. You've got so much going on that, believe it or not, it is hard to get a person to sit down and focus on this.
Especially during the season. Mm-hmm.
Yvette, how many times have you been through these discussions on the other side of the table?
I'm not counting. I'm not counting. And it all looks way too familiar.
Way. Yeah. On the question of the extension of the football coach, for the record, I applaud you for not throwing the guy under the bus. Believe it or not, I really do. First years are tough, whether you're a faculty member just coming out of school, as I was, or you're a coach playing literally in a different league. So I appreciate that. But, you know, I only got 5 more years to get my act together. And this has been something I've gotten more feedback from the community. I mean, you know what the faculty think. You don't need me to make that point for it. You really don't need me to make that point because you know what it is. But I've gotten more feedback from the community asking me to vote against this than anything since the soccer debate. Now, granted, the soccer issue was much higher, probably mm-hmm. you know, a couple ticks higher. But I've really been surprised at the unpopularity of this. And I have to confess, as a football fan myself, which I am, 4 seems to be about the standard for anybody, regardless of how Herculean the task. So I hear what you're saying, but I just question this, and I wonder if the bad press that's going to come from possible approval of this contract. I know what you're saying about the recruiting thing, but I wonder if the bad press is really worth it, and I do think it's troubling.
Well, I guess my question to you is what has really changed? All the terms and conditions remain the same. The buyout's the same. What if we said he had 20 years?
Yeah, I guess the issue is that, you know, recruiting class, you're really talking about 4. In a redshirt situation, you're talking about 5 years. And just 8 seems like a long time. I mean, you make the point there's no compensation. Of course, we all know that the university can terminate this at any time.
Right.
But the press hasn't been so great on this. I know you know that.
They don't understand it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why I asked the questions I did, so that
it's not understood.
Get on the record.
If it could get printed the way that's been that you've expressed it here, people would understand it better.
Right. I think there was even a price. There was an article somewhere that was an additional price leap that this board was going to vote on today. That's not what the book says.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Well, one question. And I, too, am a football fan. I haven't missed a home game in years and was in the rain, in the cold, the last game. Throw credit for that.
Thank you.
I'm the only one.
I wasn't there.
I was there. I didn't even show, no less. But going back to Coach McDonald's contract, isn't there something about, by statute, you can't have longer than 4 years?
Right. So we've written it so it's really a 4-year contract, and that at the end of each of the initial 4 years, another year is added. So that
because it doesn't say not to, it doesn't have that disclaimer that usually they have on there about not to. No, I'm talking about Coach Elson. Works in his for 8 years.
This is just an extension. This is not.
On page
134. 134, yeah.
That's the letter where Boyd is recommending the extend for the action that you extend.
Okay.
In terms of the contract, still contain
that lawyer. Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. And then one popping back to Coach McDonald on basketball. And I do feel much better about the bonuses and the incentives that now that he's explained everything, he's had an opportunity. My only question, though, I mean, if he goes to the NCAA, he gets a $100,000 base added, and that's wonderful. Do we really need to also give him then a 1-month salary? Does this look like he's getting double bonuses? There's 2 bonus systems in place for that.
Right. Well, you know, the $100,000 does not kick in until July 1. And that's a going forward That's a recalibration of that. That's a raise that he will receive.
Hefty raise.
Right. I understand your question. The 1 month bonus on an NCAA bid or advancing to the round of 32. I understand that you might not feel that it's appropriate or might be an overkill for compensation, but that's compensation for a lot of extra work that does take place once you make an NCAA tournament and work throughout the month of March, and you're bringing in additional revenues to the university.
Build back more dividends.
Right. Yeah. So that's that's been the initial reward that our coaches have had in front of them for many times over. So that has been carried forward from several coaches. What is actually new to this particular contract and this particular coach are the automatic increases, and we've tried to lay them out so that this coach can see that if I have any type of sustained success at WKU, I know exactly where I can position myself financially, my family financially, and maybe I don't have to look at Georgia or South Carolina or other jobs, because it's clearly stated for me here at WKU, if I have this type of success, then I can be taken care of to this extent.
What is the compensation for a regular season conference championship on page 100 under 402A? It just says he'll receive a bonus, but it doesn't say what or how much, or is it 1 month salary as well?
Yes. No, actually, I think, Debbie, I think we need to look at that. There might be a number that dropped off of that. I think that's $4,000. And because that particular one, you can win the outright regular season
and not be the number
and
one
not
season.
Win the tournament and not go to the NCAA.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you have a great 18 game performance in season but don't win the conference tournament championship and get the automatic bid, conceivably he would be left with no bonus by going 18-0 in league play but not winning the tournament. Left out of the tournament, no bonus. We've put a $4,000 amount in there, which is just a small thank you for having a great regular season, but we didn't get to the NCAA. We didn't generate a ton of additional revenue by participating in the NCAA, so there's a $4,000 bonus for that.
Yeah, we might see them clip
yep.
that.
Yeah, that somehow got omitted.
And then the last question I have is, number four under 4B, it says that the...
What page are you?
101.
Okay.
Item four.
Okay.
And it says that he should be paid July 1st for the $100,000 if he gets that additional bonus. Now, effective July the 1st. If he leaves, then that's all null and void, right?
Right.
That's the way I read it.
Right. Yes. Yes.
The only thing he would get, in as far as bonuses, is if he made the conference championship.
The 1 month.
The stuff on the,
right.
The
exactly.
One month
exactly. He has to be at WKU effective July 1. So in other words, the NCAA tournament takes place March through April 1st. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a April, May, June, mm-hmm. This individual has to remain employed at WKU to then see on July 1 any of these benefits starting to accrue on their his paycheck.
He won't get the $100,000 one time. It's prorated.
That's exactly right.
Oh, he didn't get it one time hit.
Right.
Prorated over 12 months.
But the $100,000 is counted, even though it's prorated, it's still counted against, it still goes to his base. Of one, all at once.
The first time, it'll be a monthly over 12 months added to his
base.
After that, though, it will be a supplement. A supplement that will not be added to the base, but will be a separate supplemental payment.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Right. Doesn't start till July.
And
correct.
Take withholding and all that out of all that stuff.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
With regard to the figure that's missing on page 100 of the memo that went to the board and referred to the contract. attached. But the fee that does show up there is $4,000. All you have to explain is formatting this booklet for some reason it got dropped off.
Okay.
It is in the contract that sent you on.
Okay.
I have, yeah, I thought I'd seen that before.
I have one. I have one more question.
Yes.
Going back to the Jenkins contract on page 118, are those dates supposed to be 2009?
No, he actually started January 1, 2008. He has been here a year.
Oh, okay.
And he has won. He's coached 16. He's the head coach of 6 intercollegiate athletic teams. 6 of our 19, he's our head coach for men's cross country, indoor track, outdoor track, women's cross country, women's indoor track, women's outdoor track. So he's our head coach for almost a third of our intercollegiate athletic programs. He has had 6 opportunities to win championships since he's been a head coach, and he's won 6 championships since he's been a head coach with indoor track, outdoor track, and cross country. All 3 men, all 3 women. So he's doing an exceptional job.
We're saving money on that guy.
He's doing very well.
Yeah, I mean, we're saving money on him, though, because if you had 6 more coaches, you know, you'd have to pay him more than what you're paying him.
He's doing very well.
Are there other questions?
I'd like to move to amend the motion. I'd like to remove item, I'm sorry, I'll get the number. I believe it's 11.4, the football contract extension from the motion to be voted upon separately. I'm sorry, 11.3.
What page are we on?
11.4.
What page are we on?
134.
134. Okay. Thank you.
On page 132, there's another little typo area, error. Not that we want to be picky, but we want to be correct. In the Article 3, about 8 lines down, it's got of each twice, and we just need to take out one of them. We just want to be correct.
Okay.
Are we ready for a vote?
I move to amend the motion.
All right. You're amending the motion?
All it takes is a request to pull that out.
Okay.
And it doesn't require an amendment. If you want to vote separately, all it requires is a request by one of the members to pull it out.
Okay. So the new motion then is that we're voting on agenda items 11.1, 11.2, and 11.3, and 11.4 will now be separate.
All right. So we will we have a motion already, but we will pull 11.4.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Then you vote on that next, yeah.
Pamela, we did have a motion, didn't we, in
yes.
a second?
Yes.
All right. But we're pulling that one. All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same sign. 11.4, the terms for the athletic employment contract for David Elson. Your comment.
I simply wanted to avoid voting no on the basketball and track contracts, which seemed quite in order.
Okay.
So,
all right.
To
then
show my
let's hand. Vote on 11.4 then at this time. Is there any other comments or discussion? All in favor of agenda item 11.4? Aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Okay.
I abstain.
Okay. All right. So that passes with one no and one abstention. Okay. Thank you, Wood, very
right.
much.
Thank you.
All right. All right, we have item number 12.
Yeah.